Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
I just want to pose a question. What do you do if the preacher doesn't show up? What do you do if the elders don't show up? What do you do at church if the deacons show up, those that are in leadership roles? What do you do when it's just two or three that meet, or maybe one man, and everybody else is sick? What do you do? How do you know how to function? Well, you don't have to rely upon one man to set an order of how to function, or a group of elders, or a group of deacons. You and I have something in our hands right here in front of us. And on the front of mine, and probably on the front of yours, it has one fancy little word that starts with a B and ends with a Bible. Right? Bible. That's your basic instructions before leaving earth. The Bible is God's holy, inspired, complete written word. Written over 1,600 years, 40 different authors with no contradictions. You can't do that with a human book. If you've ever tried to write anything of any length, if you're not careful, you'll contradict yourself, and that's just one author. But what if you get multiple authors who never met each other, who wrote in three different languages on different continents? Well, then it would be anything short of a miracle to have any men do that. But this book didn't come from men. It came from God. Go with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. I want to key in on that thought of what do we do if there's no one? Maybe the one supposed to speak, or the one supposed to preach, or the one supposed to pray, or the one supposed to lead singing, or those that are supposed to wait on the Lord's Supper table. What do we do if they're not here? Notice what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14 and following. He says, "These things I write unto you, Timothy. I'm hoping that I can come see you soon." Paul was very ambitious a lot in his writings. Now, as we've studied through the book of Acts, we know that Paul did not always get to go where he wanted to go when he wanted to go there. You know, he wanted to go on into Jerusalem, or he wanted to go into Asia, and the Spirit would say, go here or don't go there, as the different times, the different instances would dictate. So Paul, his course was thrown left or right wherever God wanted him to go. So he says, "Timothy, I hope I can come see you soon. But if I don't, if I tarry long," he says, "that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the ground of the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." He says, "I'm writing you these things, Timothy, so if I don't make it there when I'm hoping to see you, you'll know what to do. You won't be running around like a bunch of chickens with your heads cut off. I'm going to give you instructions on how you are to live and how you are to function." Notice he says, "without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world and received up into glory." Well, that's just a good, succinct description of the life of Christ, is it not? He walked upon the face of the earth. But here's why Paul is giving Timothy instructions. Keep going. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. They'll be forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Timothy, I hope to come see you soon. But if I don't come see you soon, I'm giving you instructions on what you need to do in case I don't get there on my time. I'm going to get there on God's time, but on my time. Why am I telling you this, Timothy? Because there are going to be people who are going to try to come in from among you and walk in, and they're going to try to teach you things that God says not to do. Some are going to depart from the faith." You know, sometimes I fall into this mental trap, and maybe you do as well, where I think we've only had some of these false teachers and these false ideas for a couple hundred years. You know, you go to some of the denominations have been around 200, 300, 400 years. Catholic Church, the longest one, it's been around since about 300 A.D. Even in the day of Christ, there were false teachers claiming to be Christ. In the day of the apostles, there were false teachers claiming to be apostles. That's part of the reason when Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, he has to defend his apostleship. He says, you better be careful because they're going to try to pull you away. They're going to teach that you can't be married. Well, if those are in leadership positions in the Catholic Church, isn't that what they teach? You must be celibate. He says you can't eat this or you must do that. They're trying to impose restrictions where God didn't bind anything. Now, if you don't want to eat meat, that's fine. That's more meat for the rest of us meat eaters. But you don't have to eat or you don't have to not eat. But for you to say God says you can't eat that, then you've crossed a line. He keeps going on. He says, verse 6, you must put the brethren in remembrance of these things and be a good minister. You are, verse 7, to refuse profane old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. I have heard some preachers, and I'm going to use that phrase loosely, I have heard some preachers get up to preach and they tell more stories than they use scripture. They may have a great point, but they don't back it up biblically. When I preach, I want you to know I'm going to back it up book, chapter, verse. So you don't take my word for it. You read it for yourselves. He says you better be careful and refuse these wise fables. Notice, bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. He says, I hope to see you soon, but what do you do if I don't show up? You have the written word of God. If you ever find yourself in a part of the country, because you're not going to find it in Warren County, but if you ever find yourself in a part of the country where there's not a congregation of the Lord's church, did you know you can start a church of Christ in that community? And you can follow the New Testament pattern. Or maybe you find yourself in a location where the sign on the door may say Church of Christ, but they've got a praise team and an altar and instrumental music. It may have the sign, but not the characteristics. You can begin a congregation of the Lord's church. I know of people who have done that, and their congregation's still thriving because every congregation started at some point, did it not? From some efforts of those that love God's Word. So what do? You read the Bible. Go to 2 Timothy. Notice he kind of picks this idea up again. Of course, we're going to be in the third chapter. But you are familiar, no doubt, with 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, where he says to study, to show thyself unto God. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Give all diligence, as may better be a translation of that word from the Greek. Giving diligence. Study. Put effort into it. Don't just read. But when you do so, you can rightly divide the word of truth. Now I want to begin in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, and I'm going to begin in verse 12. And I'm not going to pick up where the chapter break is. So just keep that in mind, because chapters weren't originally there when the Bible was written. It was one long continuous thought, and I really think this kind of gets it better. Verse 12. Yea, all that will live godly in Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things and endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. In my mind, that's one long thought. Maybe in yours it is now. Because then he starts getting into his closing. He's ready to be offered. See, Paul tells Timothy a second time, you're going to have to suffer persecution. But if you want to do right, it's far worth it in the end. If you suffer persecution here, you'll be rewarded there. He says the imperativeness to study. Why? All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it is useful. So he says verse number 2 of chapter 4, to preach the word. Why? Once again, because they're going to have teachers coming in. They just want to scratch their ears. They want to hear the prosperity gospel. Everything's good all the time. God's not going to hurt you. God's not going to punish you if you don't do what he says. Yet that concept is foreign in Scripture. And those are people who have turned themselves away. So what do? We study God's word. What do? If we find something that is not being done in accordance with God's will, then we go back to the Bible and we read and study and say, you know what? We're supposed to take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. I learned that from Acts chapter 20, verse number 7. I learned that through study upon the first day of the week. They came together. If we were taking it on Saturday or Tuesday or Thursday, that would be wrong. We would have to learn. And the Bible says, here's what we do. If we had a piano sitting over here and Buddy was sitting behind it ready to play our invitation song, glad he's not. But then we could go to passages in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, Colossians 3, verse 16, where we could go, can't be using instruments. If we had a woman standing in my spot preaching, now we go, nope. Paul tells Timothy, women aren't to usurp. So we can find everything we do in Scripture. And we all, through God's infinite grace and God's infinite knowledge, we all have a copy of it. That's why we're told to study. Jesus says, John 12, 48, by my words you'll be judged. So you might as well live according to his words. So what do? You go back to the Bible. And you always do what the Bible says. If you're not a Christian, the Bible says you need to become one, have your sins washed away. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, go down that watery grave, come out a new creature alive in Christ.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
I'm glad to have you along with us here on Reading the Word. Yes, my name is Justin Reed, and I'm just so delighted that you have been spending some time with us here, and I do hope that you've been having a good day. Now, if you want to enjoy this lesson again, or maybe share it with someone that you know or love, you can catch the replay anytime online at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. And all you have to do is click on where it says the radio program. Now, from there, you can see every program, and they are listed in air date order. So this is program number 164. So that means there's 163 that preceded it, and Lord willing, there will be some after it, so you can keep checking back on that page, readingtheword.net. It is completely free to you. I've never asked a dime from you to do this, but you just click on the title, and it will pull it up there, and you can listen to it again. If you do not have easy access to that, and you want to write to me, you can do the same, P.O. Box 292, Woodbury, Tennessee, 37190. That's my personal box, P.O. Box 292, Woodbury. And I'll be glad to send you this. Just mention program 164 here of Reading the Word. I thought we would spend the rest of our time allotted before us simply doing the namesake of the program. Let's just read God's Word. And as time is permitted, we've been reading through the book of James. And so I want us to pick up in James chapter 5 and verse number 7. James chapter 5 and verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patient for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven nor by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. There's just a little bit more of the book of James. I do appreciate you spending your time with us. Hopefully we can study more together next time. May the good Lord bless you and may he keep you. Please continue to pray, and thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.